This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
I don't want to disparage any other spot in the state to watch a football game. I have seen football games everywhere. My favorite spot is Kid Brewer.
I have not gone there yet.
I love The Rock. It may have something to do with the fact that I just love the mountains.
Yeah.
I love the weather. Mm-hmm. I love the air. I love everything about it. The entire town of Boone smells like patchouli.
It's great.
Absolutely great. All right. So we do this every day, 1 o'clock. We answer our listener poll, or we let the listeners direct us to what we are going to discuss. So let's spin the wheel and do listener's choice. Also invite your participation if you like, 919-860-5326. 919-860-5326, because we allow write-ins. What should we talk about today? Dennis put on Twitter about 11:45 today. Is Baker the future? That came in third. Serena Williams and her win last night and maybe going forward? That came in last. Although that was very interesting. I have some thoughts on that later. UNC at App. 29% of you, it came in second. The number one topic for people. NC State at East Carolina. That is your winner. 47%. A plurality, not a majority, but a plurality, and that's fine. So let's discuss the Wolfpack's trip to Greenville, and then we'll get to Carolina's game at App. And again, I keep saying this. I love this for the state of North Carolina to open up the college football season. I know Carolina played last week against Florida A&M. But I love this on the first full weekend of college football. Tremendous. I find it fascinating that both ACC schools are going on the road. I find that aspect of this great. So Carolina's got a tough spot to go into to play at The Rock. They are underdogs in Boone. NC State, still a double-digit favorite at East Carolina. So let me start there. And let's handle the road aspect of this real quick. Dave Doran understands that it will not be easy to play at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium, and here's what he said about it.
You know, crowd noise would be great to be involved in an atmosphere like that. We know that their fans will be loud, and for us, it's something we need. You know, we need to go play on the road and play in front of fan base like that. Obviously, we're going to come home after this game for 3 weeks and then have to go play at Clemson, and that'll be our next time to really have that. So I'm excited we have that challenge in our opener as well.
All right, so that's the getting a road game under their belt. Mm-hmm. Now what going about the business of winning this game? Playing in Greenville has not been good for NC State. They're 1-4 all time in Greenville. Dave Doran has played there once, and they lost 33-30 in 2016. They have won the two most recent meetings, but both of those in 18 and 19 were in Raleigh. So now they're going back. And Doran understands that this has not been a good spot for NC State.
And it's a stadium that NC State has not played well in, you know, as a program. We're 1-4 in Greenville. And so, you know, my last time there, we had 13 penalties and lost in a one possession game. So I know this is a tough place. Trust me, our team knows that as well. It's been a lot of conversation about who we're playing and where we're playing. And I've always felt winning starts with not beating yourself. And so a lot of conversation on that, particularly in these openers, you see a lot of early season mistakes and opening games that we need to avoid. And to be the best team we can be, we need to not make it harder than it needs to be on ourselves.
All right, to that end, he talked about it being the opener. Yeah, opener for both schools. And opening games are the most crapshooty of all because you haven't worked kinks out. I have said for years, college football teams should be playing one exhibition. For instance, that HBCU game could have been an exhibition.
Yeah.
You can still play against Florida A&M. It just wouldn't count against your allotment of 12 regular season games. That would be nice. And you could still do something for an HBCU because this is going to sound weird, but I think your fans will still go.
Oh, yeah.
I think your fans will still show up.
For sure.
So here's the deal. I look at this from a big picture standpoint for NC State. What are you going to be this year? Now, again, it's week one, so there are always going to be some things that you have to kind of work through. So I'm not going to gain any grand, I'm not going to make any conclusions based on what the Wolfpack do this week. I think they're at the bottom is a top 15 finish for NC State. I think that's the floor for what they should be based on the quarterback, based on the array of wide receivers, based on the experience and talent that they have on the defensive side of the ball. What did Chip Patterson tell us last week? And we'll speak to Chip about this tomorrow. He thinks that NC State has a top 10 defense and about a top 40-ish offense, right? I think their offense can be a little bit better than that. If you have a top 10 defense and a top 40-ish offense, then against teams that are not top 10 defenses, you should be able to score enough points for your defensive work to stand up. I think State, in many games that they will play this year, can score in the 30s. Here's what I would like to see for this offense. I would like to see Dave Doran open it up. Let Devin Leary cook. Let him go. I know you're a big Devin Leary fan. That's your favorite player.
Yes,
I get it.
Devin.
All right, but
Devin's my guy.
Let's let him go, man. You've got good receivers, right? I know you lose both running backs off last year's roster. I get, but you still have Jordan Houston. You still have some other guys. Running back, I'm not saying anybody can play it, but kind of. You know, I mean, you could find a bunch of running backs to pick up decent amount of yards. Maybe you don't have the game breaker, but if your offensive line is good, I think you'll be okay. But to me, the Wolfpack should be able to ride their defense and the ability of their quarterback to a great year. They can't have a great year if they don't go 4-0 in the preseason, in the non-conference season. Can't have a great year. They can't get out of here 3-1. Can't lose to Texas Tech. They should win this game against ECU by a bunch. Really should win by a bunch. And again, I'm not trying to throw any disrespect towards the Pirates. It's a program on the build, and I think they will get back to where they want to be. I think NC State is significantly better than them. And in a way, this is the year that they have the Wolfpack must get the most out of this team. Now,
yeah.
I mean, they must. And to me, the bare minimum is 10 wins in the regular season. That's the bare minimum. If, like, a loss to Clemson, yeah, okay, we can survive that. But more than one more loss after that? No. Get the most out of the season. Barring injury, I think 10-2 is the worst they should be. My feeling. If I'm wrong, whatever. We'll deal with it. We'll deal with it in the end of November. Or hopefully they don't get to more than two losses well before then. All right, real quick to Tar Heels going up to ECU. Mack Brown talked about it in terms of what Carolina needs in order to win at a place like Kid Brewer against a program like App, and they need the best version of themselves.
They're experienced with confidence, and we're not. And the other thing is we haven't won on the road. So all odds are against us this weekend. We're banged up. We're taking a first-year quarterback to Boone. They've got a sixth-year guy. We're going to a hostile environment, and we haven't played well on the road in those. So we got our hands full, and we're going to have to play great to have a chance to win.
Process that. We're going to have to play great to have a chance to win. I think he's right.
Yeah.
And the odds reflect that right now. This game opened with the Tar Heels at about a 3.5-point favorite. It is now flipped the other way. App State is, I think, at a last look, a 1.5-point favorite in that game. It's a pretty big switch for a betting line. You know, I follow the lines, but I am not so into it that I can tell you how common a 4 to 4.5-point switch is. That seems like a lot to me. Usually when you have a switch like that, it has something to do with an injury. This has nothing to do with an injury. But App is a program that 100% believes that they will win and that they are the better team. Now, Carolina looked very impressive offensively and not as impressive, we'll just leave it at that, defensively. I know Sean Clark talked about, we watched that team, we watched the game, we have our work cut out for them, blah, blah, blah. The way App plays could be a problem for the Tar Heels. App is... they are willing to just run at you. They are willing to do that. And I think that we saw Florida A&M have some success, especially when they, you know, when they had to power the football ahead. They had some success. If App can do that successfully, it will open up a lot of the deep shots they like to take. We'll see. I think this is a game that I am fascinated by. Two of the best games, like from an NC State ECU perspective, I think it's not as much of an even game as the App Carolina game is. Obviously, the point spreads reflect that. Like either team could win in Boone. I think it's entirely about NC State in Greenville.
Yeah.
Dennis, you're going to be in Greenville.
Yes, I will be.
What are you going to be doing in Greenville?
So my Culture State co-host, Chris Lee, and I are going to be back doing live radio and also available on WRL Sports Plus from 10 to noon. So if you're in the Raleigh area, 99.9 The Fan is where you can listen to us. But we're going to be live at Dowdy-Ficklin
Anywhere
Stadium.
Anywhere on the app if it's on WRL
That's
Sports
right.
Plus.
Anywhere on the app.
That's right.
Where we're going to be at Dowdy-Ficklin live from 10 to noon, getting you ready for ECU and NC State.
I absolutely cannot wait for both. And again, State and App scheduled a series, home and home series, starting in 25.
That's awesome.
First game at App at Boone. Second, the return match the next year at NC State.
That's gonna be really cool to see NC State out there, Kip Brewer.
Yeah, just awesome. Again, incredible venue to play in. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But you
can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. We'll put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. And we turn our focus to Kid Brewer Stadium and The Rock and the voice of the Mountaineers, at App State. Adam Witten joins us. Is this the biggest game that has been played, at least in recent memory, at Kid Brewer?
Yeah, I don't even know, Adam, and thanks for having me on. I don't even know if you need to put recent memory at the end of that. This is the biggest event that the town of Boone has ever seen, just from a hype standpoint, from the volume of people that will be there. It's going to be a record-breaking crowd. You go back to other significant games in the school's history, a semifinal playoff game in 2005 to reach their first national championship game, Miracle on the Mountain in 2002, and then Miami in 2016 hosting an ACC-ranked team in Wake Forest in 2017. This tops them all, in my opinion, just in terms of if you're saying big from the standpoint of the enormity of the moment and the excitement around the community, I think this is right up at the top.
Yeah, I had said earlier that the betting line had flipped and that App was actually a favorite. What I'm looking at right now is North Carolina is a one-point favorite in that game. Can Sean Clark still play the underdog card?
I think whether it's being the underdog or something else that they'll use inside the locker room, Sean Clark and the culture at App State is to always play with a chip on your shoulder.
Right.
And I think it's going to be, you've got to play it from a standpoint of if G5 is still even a relevant thing to say in college football anymore and P5 is still a relevant thing to say, it's probably not, but you've got G5 against P5, and I think from the standpoint of App State, they're always right now trying to fight as though they're the best football program in the state. And they don't feel like they're considered that way outside of their own community and campus. And so regardless of what the betting line says, I think that's probably the motivation that they're going to take into this one.
Well, all things being relative, and we're talking with Adam Witten, the voice of App State. Noon, by the way, for App and North Carolina. If you're watching it on TV, it's an ESPNU event. All things relative, you know, to your conference, to your level of football. I mean, 73-19. I don't know what else you need to know. Last 7 years, it bridges two coaches, Scott Satterfield to Sean Clark. I mean, this is the best program in the state the last decade. And that's not even a knock necessarily on other schools. 73 wins, and to average 10 wins a year for 7 years? I mean, that's Clemson territory.
Yeah, and you talk about teams that have won 10 games over that span. App has won at least 9 games every year since 2015, and the only other programs in America that can say that are Clemson and Alabama. So there's no doubt that App is the winningest program in the state. And in 2019, the last time App and North Carolina played, when the Mountaineers won in Chapel Hill, App won 13 games that year. That's the most that any school in the state of North Carolina at the FBS level has ever won. Nobody else has ever won 13 games in the state of North Carolina at this level of college football. So, yeah, just from a wins and losses standpoint, nobody has a better resume than App State.
I actually shorted App State a coach. I forgot the Eli Drinkwitz era.
yeah.
So, yeah, it's three coaches it spans, from Satterfield to Drinkwitz to now Sean Clark. All right, when I'm sure you watched North Carolina and Florida A&M. What will App do to attack North Carolina defensively?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think it's the thing that you worry about in a first game, and North Carolina saw some of this in the game against Florida A&M, is because the amount of contact that's allowed in the preseason has been limited year after year, you really do see some issues with tackling early in the season. And North Carolina struggled with that in that first game. So whether or not that will make an appearance this Saturday, we'll have to find out. But the thing that App's just going to be able to do is they're very multiple. You know, Carolina's a little banged up right now. They've got an injury at one of their starting corner spots, and we're not sure whether Grimes is going to play. And so Carolina's had a tough go of it in the preseason in terms of injuries, but App was able to really mix it up and utilize the deep ball when they won the game in 2019. They took shots down the field, tried to win their one-on-one matchup, and to their credit, they did win enough of those to create enough big plays to put up 30-plus points on the Tar Heels. You got to have big plays, I think, to win a game like this. When tackling can be a little bit suspect early in the season, there's a tendency to give up more big plays. There's a tendency to have a higher scoring game. I do just have this hunch, Adam, that this is going to be a high scoring game. No knock against either defense, but I just think you've got so many weapons and explosiveness on the offensive side of the ball. So App's going to have to be able to score, and to do that, they've got to use a vertical passing game. The running game will be there, very experienced offensive line, deep backfield, experienced quarterback, but the wide receivers are the untested group of this offense. And so that is, I think, where App is going to need some production to be able to keep Carolina's defense honest.
Yeah, a lot of the names that we have grown accustomed to over the last 3 or 4 years are gone among the wide receiving core, but everybody else seems to be back. Or is App a team that will run to set up the pass, or vice versa?
Yeah, you're going to see more of that. It's more run to set up the pass. They are, if you're tipping the scales one direction or the other, it's going to tip more favorably to the running game. And I think a lot of that is just the style that Sean Clark tends to bring. But you know, the other thing, too, is you talk about the head coaching changes. App is now on its fifth offensive coordinator in the last 5 years. Kevin Barbet comes in from Central Michigan, and one of the guys he coached a year ago was the nation's leading rusher. And so he knows how to incorporate some creativity and some different dynamics in the running game. And maybe there's ways to use the backs in other ways besides just straight handoffs. So I do feel like this is going to continue to be an offense that will run to set up the pass. I mean, that's the way you're going to have to stretch the defense, is you've got to be able to get guys to creep up in the box to stop the run, and it gives you more one-on-one matchups. So for App to be able to utilize its explosiveness on the outside and its speed with some of its receivers, they have to run the ball, and they have to get Carolina creeping up, thinking that they've got to respect the running game. Otherwise, Carolina can drop more guys back, and App's not going to be able to get big chunks of yardage.
What do you think scares Sean Clark more, the running backs for UNC or Josh Downs?
Well, I think it's Josh Downs, just because it's so tough to be able to – you know that you're having to adjust your defense a little bit more if you have a dynamic game-breaking wide receiver like Josh Downs. So I think, you know, App can use a bunch of different packages in terms of blitzing, in terms of nickel and dime packages. And certainly if you're blitzing, you've got to play more man coverage, but playing man coverage with a guy like Josh Downs out there is easier said than done. And so when you're always facing that, when he's on the field, it might limit your ability in terms of how many guys you want to try to send at Drake May, or what kind of looks you want to give the defense. If you're always having to try to bracket Josh Downs with potentially two defenders, that's one less guy that you can be versatile with on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, no, Carolina's offense looks like it's going to be fine. Defense, I'm not 100% sure about, but the offense looks like it's going to be fine. I can't wait to get a look at the Mountaineers. Final question for Adam Witten, who's the play-by-play voice for the App State Mountaineers. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam B. Witten. Let's pretend the fire marshal's not listening. How many people are we expecting at The Rock Saturday at noon?
My guess, I thought at first we were going to top 40,000, but there's just not that many. There aren't that many places in the stadium to put that amount of people. The record is a little over 37,000 for Wake Forest in 2017. I think you're going to end up somewhere between 38 and 39 as the final total for attendance. They're bringing a little more than 2,000 temporary seats to put in the north end zone. So that increases your seating capacity.
Right.
You've got a hill in the south end zone where they'll pack them in. So I'm thinking somewhere between 38 and 39. I'll say 38,674.
So we're getting I'm writing that 38,674. It's like guessing how many M&Ms are in the jar. it's going to be just an absolutely great place. We were up there for, I think it was, this has got to be 7 or 8 years ago, hosting, I think it was McNeese State. And, yeah. I mean, it's a good crowd. It's a fun game. I mean, like a pinball machine in terms of offense. And my kid was out there in the open end zone, chasing down extra points and field goals and running around playing football. He was ignoring the game except in kicking situations. But man, I'm glad they're going to put put seats there. Do you think they'll ever enclose that part of the stadium?
I don't think they'll enclose the hill. You know, I think
no, not the hill. The other side. Or they have they already done that?
It's not completely enclosed. I mean, they've got the new building, the new end zone facility, and that's where the temporary seats will go. When those seats aren't there, it's kind of like a beer garden type of feel below the premium seats that are above it.
So yes.
It does get great use during the season, but they're moving that to another corner of the end zone for these temporary seats just for the Carolina game.
Oh, man, it's going to be a blast. Adam, thank you so much for your time, man. Good luck. Have a good time. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Adam. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Adam Witten. Wonderful first name, by the way, if I might say so myself. Again, if you've never been to The Rock, phenomenal, phenomenal place. And we are blessed here in the state. We have there are great venues to watch college football. Dowdy Ficklin is great. Carter Finley Stadium is great. I know Keenan Stadium, blah, blah. Keenan Stadium, when their fans are into it, it's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
I agree.
So, I mean, Wake Forest is a great atmosphere for football.
Yeah.
We have just a great state for these types of things. So, have fun if you're going to Kid Brewer Stadium. All right, let's get to the half, Dennis.
And now your halftime entertainment.
Now, I can't remember. Did you mention the 2022 stat of Serena, Albert Pujols compared to 2001?
I have not done that yet.
You want to mention that real fast?
All right. So this is one of the great notes I've ever heard in sports, and it'll make you feel some type of way. On August 29th, 2001, Serena Williams won a match at the U.S. Open.
Yep.
On that same day, Albert Pujols hit a home run.
That he did.
On that same day, Vladimir Guerrero Sr., Craig Biggio, and Dante Bichette all got base hits.
Yeah.
Fast forward to last night, August 29th, 2002, Serena Williams won a match at the U.S. Open. Albert Pujols hit a home run. Vladimir Guerrero Sr.'s son, Vlad Jr., Craig Biggio's son, Kevin, and Dante Bichette's son, Bo, all got hits in the big leagues.
Yep.
I saw that and a burst of laughter came out of my mouth. 21 years apart.
Yeah.
Serena still winning matches at the U.S. Open, and Albert Pujols is on fire.
Yeah.
What, 694 home runs now?
I think so.
He's got 5 weeks to hit 6 more home runs. He already said he's not playing next year.
Yeah.
He's retiring no matter what the number is. Can he get to 700?
Give him every at-bat.
My gosh.
Let him hit leadoff.
Well, he's playing.
Yeah.
He's not playing every day, but he's playing most days because they can DH.
Yeah.
The one good thing Rod Manfred has done as commissioner, universal DH.
Yeah.
I don't even like the DH, but the entire league needs to play by the same rules.
Sure.
So, all right, I'm done.
I can't remember if you mentioned that note earlier, so I just want to make sure you got that in. Because August 29th of 2021, not a very good day. 1 year ago yesterday, we all got the Bishop Sycamore versus IMG Academy experience. You know who's on the play-by-play for that day?
I do.
It was Anish Shroff.
Yeah, I do.
The now play-by-play man for the Carolina Panthers. Yep. Michael Strahan, by the way, is actually producing a documentary on the school and the team and all that for HBO Sports.
Is he really?
It's going to debut in early 2023. It includes interview from the head coach himself, Roy Johnson.
Oh,
full-on sit-down interview with that guy.
Wow. Can I tell you something else about Michael Strahan?
Sure.
Do you know he now has a line of clothing?
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. And it's like pretty good.
Pretty sharp?
Yeah. I mean, it's available at Men's Warehouse if you want to go. I may or may not have two shirts and a pair of pants.
There you go. Yeah. I might check that out. Yeah. So I'm very interested in watching this because, again, there are some different lawsuits, a lot of litigation towards Johnson and the school. Is it even actually a school? Before Bishop Sycamore, there
were... Most of these are not schools.
No. Because before that, there was Christians of Faith, COF Academy, founded by Johnson in February of 2018. But then 2 years later, he's got Bishop Sycamore as another school. No. Yeah, it's just... It's nuts.
It's not really a school.
No, it's not. Not really a school at
and
all.
And that's... It's unfortunate because a lot of ESPN's done a great job. If you are somebody that likes the exposure that is given to high school athletics, mm-hmm. whether it's on the football field, on a basketball court, ESPN's done a good job in getting those programs with high level talent exposure. But it has opened up that cesspool. The Bishop Sycamores of the world that are lying to get on TV.
Yeah.
Lying to get on TV. They don't have prospects. They had no prospects. None. They had, people that were too old to be in high school playing.
Yeah, there's that, too. The whole thing's a mess. Honestly, when we have Anish Shroff on next, we should actually ask him about that.
Yeah.
Since we just passed a year.
No question. All right. I'll call him.
By the way, chalk up another win for NFL ratings guy. You know, NFL ratings guy always sit there and touts how great the ratings are for NFL games.
Yeah, well, they're great.
Well, they are. They're fantastic. They're like, oh, see, that's why NFL dominates. Like, we get it.
Who's debating?
Oh, no one is. Well, CBS, when they aired on Sunday, the Lions-Steelers preseason game,
right,
4:30 time slot, average 5.8 million viewers.
Yeah.
Nearly peaked at 7.6 million. By the way, up over 65% from last year's game.
Okay.
It's a preseason game. But
Steelers. Steelers are on.
Well, Steelers. Well, also, I don't know if this also factors in the fact that the Lions are part of Hard Knocks.
Maybe. Look, it's the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watched it.
I didn't watch any of it.
I don't blame you.
I watched the only preseason football I watched was bits and pieces of Panthers games. That's it. Just bits and pieces.
Yeah. That's all you really need to see.
I'm a baseball fan. I don't really watch spring training baseball. Really not. I mean, yeah, it's not real baseball.
Spring training.
It's just guys. It's practice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch practice. Sorry. Hope that doesn't annoy people. But
it does, Adam.
I don't watch
practice. It annoys a lot of people.
Yeah. Games? Oh, I'm watching games.
One game, speaking of the Detroit Lions, you should check out halftime. You know why?
Oh, this is very cool.
I'll tell you why.
What's up, Aggie family? This is Brad Holmes, general manager of the Detroit Lions and proud North Carolina A&T alum. Dr. Ruff and I have some really big news for you. On Sunday, September 11th, the Blue and Gold Marching Machine is going to perform at halftime at our game against the Philadelphia Eagles at Ford Field.
That's right. A&T Blue and Gold Marching Machine gonna be at halftime in Detroit, Ford Field.
I mean,
start off the season.
We talked about this yesterday with BDOT, how big a deal it was to have the FAMU band going at it on the during halftime at Keenan Stadium.
And joined by the UNC marching band.
That was tremendous. But it is part of the fabric of college football. It's part of the separation. Look, the play itself on the field during the between the whistles. College football does not compare to NFL football. It just doesn't. But the atmosphere is what really makes college football incredible. And part of the atmosphere are the bands at halftime.
Yeah.
To me, I've always loved it. And I love the fact that the Lions are doing this. That's awesome. Good luck to A&T. They'll have a blast.
Absolutely. So the clip that we just played was Brad Holmes. Again, he's an A&T alum. Video with the band letting him know, hey, we're bringing you guys up here for that. So that's where that clip came from. Was from A&T and the Lions. Final thing here. Sure, people may have heard this or maybe saw this. Recently, a couple at an Oakland Athletics game were shown to, I guess you could say, enjoying themselves.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Near the top of the stadium.
Yeah.
The Coliseum, I
saw the video on Twitter. The video doesn't really tell you or show you what was going on. The text of the tweet told you what was going on.
Yeah, it did. I won't say that, right. FCC purposes. But anyway, police are actually investigating that. As you know.
Right.
Trying to figure out who those people are.
Somebody hit a home run at the Blue Jays game.
They did.
Right? That's apparently what was going on.
Yes. Well, yes. You
home run.
You jumped me on that one. Well, they have a couple proud Blue Jays fans who were kicked out of a game recently for, well, let's just say also having fun.
Right. Trying to stretch a triple into a homer.
Someone got home. Someone scored.
Do we know if they scored?
I believe they did.
All right. Well.
I believe they did.
Literally an inside the park home run. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Yesterday, Serena Williams was a pretty big favorite in her match with Danka Kovacic from Montenegro, and she won the match. And I'm glad that I went the other way because it guaranteed that Serena would get a win. Tomorrow, when she plays another night match against Annette Contivate, who is the second seed, I probably mispronounced that, Serena will be an underdog. There haven't been a lot of times in Serena's life where she was the underdog. Probably been for the most part 25 or so years since she was not the favorite, the betting favorite in a tennis match. But I won 3 of my 4 bets on the parlay. I only lost Coco Vandeweghe.
That's what gets you.
Yeah. Stay away from parlays, kids. Stay away from parlays. All right, let's see if we can make back some money. And Dennis has an announcement to make. As we
place
our
bets. Place your bets. Here we
are. I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me.
I owe you one.
Dennis?
Yep.
Make your announcement.
Well, yesterday I had Shohei Ohtani hitting a homer at plus 370.
You did?
I also had Aaron Judge hitting a home run at plus 210.
Yes, you did.
I was previously at a minus 300, but those two bets right there at plus 580 total combined put me in the black, baby.
Look at you.
That's right, Adam.
Very impressive.
I'm at a plus 280 overall. I've got tens of dollars, Adam. Tens of dollars, baby. Who wants a Big Mac?
It's
on
time.
Me. I can buy like 10 of them.
Good for you. Good for you. It's nice to... Now, don't screw it up.
Why you got to put pressure on me like
Continue
that?
Continue your hot streak.
Why you got to put pressure on me like that?
Oh, my gosh. All right, well, congratulations.
Thank you. I feel very good about myself.
All right.
For a time, Adam, I was once minus 2,700.
You were? It's been a fight. It's been a long road back, but you got there.
I am on a heater.
You got there. All right, let's keep it going.
Well, I gave a futures bet yesterday of Crystal Palace picking up a win today at plus 110, so I still have that going. I'm also going to go into the EPL once again. Brighton plays Fulham. Fulham put a lot of energy in their loss to Arsenal. They actually had a lead for a stretch in that game, but Arsenal eventually was too much in that one.
There are four matches
today. I think Fulham's going to be a little bit weary coming off that loss. I don't think they bounce back today. That's why give me Brighton at plus 135 over Fulham.
Hard thing for clubs like Fulham and Bournemouth and the clubs that bump up, Nottingham Forest, is they don't have necessarily the depth to kind of pull through when you're playing rapid fire matches. And yeah, this is a match, what, 4 days after, 3 days after their last one, because they played Saturday. I thought Fulham played very well, and you and I feel differently about Fulham. I think they beat Brighton today.
Really?
Okay. I've got Fulham at plus 225 over Brighton. I am all about Mitrovic today.
Okay.
That dude is a baller. He stole, Gabriel is coming out of the back, and he's got possession of the ball, and he looks like he's going to, play it forward. And Mitrovic stole it and beat Ramsdale for the goal.
Yeah, he just took his
great candy. Great goal. Now, they couldn't sustain it.
No.
But that's all right. That's okay.
Yeah, I just think that bounce back game.
Arsenal's good. Hard. Arsenal's great.
Yes, they are. Very
good. I will say this about Arsenal. Haven't really played it. They don't play anybody, Paul. The Arsenal early season fixtures have not been daunting.
Hey, it's the EPL, Adam. It's always a tough one.
They're all good.
It's the SEC of soccer.
Top 20 clubs.
It's the SEC of soccer.
That's right. That is true. I got Fulham plus 225.
I got Leeds at plus 115 over Everton today.
See, here's the thing. I like Leeds. I want Leeds to win.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bad feeling about this match. Everton needs something.
Yeah.
We're talking about, and we're only a couple of weeks away from the Merseyside Derby. Where Everton and Liverpool will play. Everton's got to come out of this match with something. I think this ends in a draw.
Okay.
I have Leeds and Everton draw at plus 235.
Interesting. Give me Christian Pulisic to score at plus 180.
Gosh, is he even going to play? It's plus 180?
Yeah, for him to score.
Okay, they must know that he's going to
They're
play.
They're playing Southampton.
I know they are playing Southampton, and they've got another match on this weekend, and Champions League begins the following week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot going on. All right, well, I hope Pulisic plays. I don't like Chelsea.
I know you don't.
Give me Southampton.
Oh.
Plus 440.
Wow.
At home to shock the world. Give me
literally going opposite on just
give me the Saints. I think they're the Saints. At plus 440 at home to shock Chelsea and win. I told you this before. I was on with the Mac Attack in Charlotte today, and we were there simply to talk about State going to ECU, UNC going to App, and what a cool weekend it is. And somehow we got sidetracked at the beginning and talked Premier League.
This is my shocked face.
Do you want to know? I don't have anybody from Southampton on my fantasy team.
No, you don't.
I have nobody from Southampton on my fantasy team.
Do you have Mason Mount from Chelsea?
I don't have Mason Mount. I do have Edouard Mendy.
Okay.
I'd have the keeper. For Fulham, I've got Mitrovic, and I also have Anthony Robinson, the left back. I don't have anybody on Brighton. Leeds, I have Brendan Aaronson. An important part of my group, and I signed Onana from Everton.
Okay.
I'd like to see him get more regular time.
What was the transfer fee?
No, he was already on Everton.
Oh no, I'm talking for you.
No, he nothing. You get a certain number of free transfers.
Oh, okay.
Every couple of weeks.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So my kid made 4 changes last week, and because he made 2 changes above the norm, he got docked points, but it didn't matter because he had he has Haaland, and Haaland had 3 goals. He also had
for Man City, I mean.
For Man City, he has Luis Diaz for Liverpool. He scored twice. He had Virgil van Dijk, who came out of the back and scored a header. Liverpool only won 9-0 last week.
It was insane.
It was like, I'm a Liverpool guy. I watched until it was 3-0, and then I went, well, this game's over. Let me go flip around. So I flipped around and watched a bunch of other matches. I watched a bunch. So it was a good weekend, I thought, of Premier League soccer. Hey, Man U, looks like they might not be so terrible. And they got Anthony from Ajax in the Dutch League. Pretty good.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.